You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know. But it's a tradition. And because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
Day and night must scramble. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Torah. I am Rabbi Tzvi Jacobson with NRM Streamcast, and we'll spend our time talking Torah, learning stuff, and having fun while we learn. You can always send your questions and comments to our mailbag at letstalktorah@gmail.com, and of course, I will answer as many questions as I can. And of course, you have our amazing webpage, letstalktorah.net. That's letstalktorah.net. You find the archives, the news shows, questions, comments, the all-important donate button. You can help us out. We appreciate that. Of course, there's different levels to donate. You want a shout-out, we can give you a shout-out. Happy birthday, mazel tov, anniversary, whatever makes you happy. Or just be anonymous, like many people like to do. And that, of course, works as well. Well, we are in the Passover mode. Passover is right around the corner. And that's what we would like to talk about in our next couple of shows. So if you're a mother, girl, lady, Passover makes people nervous. For some people, months in advance. Because when they think Passover, they think it's cleanup time. And for some people, you know, put this away. It's not so clean. I'll get to this. Put some things in the closet. It's a tremendous, awesome pressure. And that really is the first thing we got to knock out of our head. Passover is the holiday of freedom, not slavery, right? We got out of slavery. We became free. And for some people, the idea of cleaning their house, they feel like slaves. And that's really a terrible thought. That's not what Passover is supposed to be about. Passover is remembering we were slaves for, well, we were in Egypt for 210 years. And okay, so God's going to come down, and he takes us out, and he brings the plagues. We're going to talk about it. But a focus of Passover is the matzah. So let's first talk matzah, then that will help us get into cleaning a little bit. First, we have to know, what is matzah or unleavened bread, and what is bread or leavened bread? What is that? So it happens like this, for without getting too scientific. You have flour, you have water, and you have what we call thyme. And if you mix them all together, you have bread or leavened bread. If you're missing one of the ingredients, and for our purposes, it'll be thyme, you have matzah. So it knows what happens. So I mix my flour and water, and I mix it up. I get myself a dough. Once that flour touches the water, I have 18 minutes. I mean, if I heat it up a little bit, that will make a bigger problem. But for the most part, I have 18 minutes. If I can get that dough and roll it out and flatten it and stick it in an oven within 18 minutes and start my baking process, I'm good to go. Some people even want the baking process should really be finished by 18 minutes. Fine. Finish the baking process within 18 minutes and you have matzah. Once it takes longer than 18 minutes from beginning to end, now we're worried, no longer matzah. So who cares? Like, what's the big deal? So the matzah represents multiple facets when we talk about Passover. First of all, as slaves, we ate matzah. Second of all, as slaves, it's poor man's bread, right? We're slaves. It's cheap bread, even though you go to the store now, you find it's massively expensive because you're not making it in your own house, right? So it's poor man's bread. It's for slaves. It fills up a person so they don't have to give them a lot of food or her. And it also represents how fast we got out of Egypt. What does the verse say? It says the night before was the plague of the firstborn, Malchus Bechorus, and we're not leaving at night. Pharaoh comes and says, you're free to go. Moses says, come on, you think we're leaving in the middle of the night? Do you think we're a bunch of escaped criminals? It's not happening. So the next morning, which was normal in those days, the mother of the house would start preparing breakfast, and it was a whole process. They didn't buy stuff and put it in the pantry or things in the fridge or things in the freezer. You ground up your flour, and you got your water, and you started making your dough, and you put everything together, and you got the oven up and running, and then you would, you know, put your pita bread. You'd put it on the wall of the oven, and then eventually breakfast would be served 2 hours later. That is a whole process. The Egyptian says, what do you think you're doing here? You think we're letting you stick around town? You're out of here. So God says the Egyptians chased us out, and God, of course, made everything go quite quickly, that we arrived at our next destination. And then we baked this dough, which we had been preparing in the morning, and lo and behold, it was still matzah. So the Torah is telling us that we left with incredible speed. We flew out of Egypt. And that's what we're trying to remember. We're remembering, on one hand, the matzah represents that we were slaves, because slave food, and it's also representing how fast we got out of Egypt. So when we clean, the idea of cleaning is we want to get all the bread out. We don't want any bread, no crumbs, no bread, no pretzels, no macaroni. We want all that gone. That's really the purpose of the cleaning. The purpose is not spring cleaning. The purpose is not that my house is spick and span. That was never the intent of Passover cleaning. The intent was that we are getting rid of this leavened bread, because we're pointing out, remember you were a slave, remember how fast God took you out. That is the whole point of what we're trying to accomplish when we're cleaning. Now, there's other things involved in cleaning. Once we start the cleaning process, cleaning means I can change. Cleaning means I can become a new person. Cleaning means I can get a new relationship with God. Cleaning means the four sons are not stuck, right? Wise son, wicked son, simple son, the son who can't ask, Chacham Rasha, Tam, Shenidei Lishol. You're not stuck. You don't must remain on the bottom. You don't must remain in the middle. You're always growing, always climbing, always, there's always an ability to change. And which is interesting, because the leavened bread really is change. Matzah is unchanged, because we also want to remember, right, it's a lot of contradictions all at the same time. It's fascinating. It's even hard to keep track. Right? In other words, on one hand, the matzah is just very, very simple, right? It's flour and water. Now it's baked. It didn't rise. Because in Egypt, one of the things we were very good at is we stayed Jewish. We looked Jewish. We dressed Jewish. We talked Jewish. We kept Jewish names. That's one focus of matzah. It's also, so change sometimes is not such a good thing, right? At the same time as we're talking about, when I'm cleaning, it doesn't have to be the way it was till now. I'm allowed to become better. So there's a lot of interesting facets going on. So we are missing something major in our whole Passover hullabaloo, if you like that word. Like, what's happening on Passover? Originally, there was a sacrifice in Egypt. We prepared the sheep. We slaughtered it the afternoon before Passover. We roasted it. And then that evening, the focus of the whole Seder was the Passover sacrifice. So we're really having this roasted meat and the matzah and the bitter herbs all together, reminding us of how God took care of us and he passed over our houses and he saved the Jewish people and he destroyed the Egyptians and he killed the firstborn. So just imagine for a second. I would love to, like, draw this picture for you. So you live, let's imagine you live in the land of Israel. If you live too far from Israel, it's going to take too long to travel. There's no cars, there's no buses, there's no trains, there's no planes. You might live a week and a half away from the temple, and you want to bring a sacrifice. So you're leaving your house, you know, a week or two before Passover. So, yes, you're not allowed to have any bread in your house, but you're not even going to be home. No one's staying home. Everyone's walking up to Jerusalem. Hundreds of thousands of people are heading towards Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind that when you bring your Passover sacrifice, you can't take it home. You have to eat it in Jerusalem, which is not from the biggest cities. It's, I mean, if you've ever been there, okay, now it's spread out all over the place, but the old city was not such a big place. And thousands of people are marching towards Jerusalem. So I don't know how they clean their house. I don't know how big their houses were. But one thing you can imagine is no one's going crazy to make the house spick and span, spending dozens of hours cleaning. We're not going to even be here. We're leaving our house. Okay, I make sure there's no bread. Walk around, open the cabinets, look under the beds, check, okay, everything is clean, there's no bread, no cereal left in the pantries, we're out of here. And now we're marching towards Jerusalem, whether I'm going to buy a sheep when I get close, whether I have my sheep with me or a goat. I get up to Jerusalem, and everybody's there. Thousands of people are marching towards the Temple Mount. And now we're not going to all go because there's not room for everybody. So the 20 or 30 people in my family that will be eating with me, because if there's more than that, we're going to have more than one Passover sacrifice, because the sheep is at oldest right under a year old. So it's not that big. So you're not getting more than 20 or 30 people per sacrifice. You have a bigger family, so you'll have to split up. You have to have two sheeps. Bigger than that, I don't go to neighbors. So everyone's going to the temple, and there were so many people. There were three groups. They're just waiting till early afternoon. The gates will open, and the first crowd gets in. And there'll be thousands of kohanim, thousands of priests that are lined up, and you bring your sheep, and they slaughter it, and they catch the blood, and it's flying back and forth down a line of kohanim, and they're going to spritz the blood, and then they send that bolt back. Meanwhile, that sheep is taken off to the side, and certain parts have to be cut out. It has to be skinned, and parts will be brought on the altar later, and you're going to get your sheep, what's after it's been sacrificed, and they took out the blood and took out some of the fats and some of the pieces, and again, if it's a sheep, there's the fat tail. And you're going to wait, they're going to open the gates, and you're going to start heading out. Because now you got to take the sheep home. Or wherever you're staying, you're not really going home, right? Wherever you're going, you're heading towards your home. And the next group is going to come in. And they're going to do the slaughtering, spritzing, skinning process. Okay, wherever you're saying you're going, and now everybody's working on roasting this sheep. Now, even in the roasting process, even in the process of roasting this sheep, it's a big deal, because it's going to be an open fire, and you're going to put it on a special spit, and you'll be turning it, and you don't want any juices that will spritz back and forth off the walls of the oven if it's in an oven. And you're going to roast it. The whole city is smelling of roasted sheep. And however long it takes, I personally have no idea how you roast a whole animal. I've never been there. You're going to finish the roasting process. You're going to make sure it's properly roasted. And you're going to, it's not cut up into, I mean, you can cut it afterwards. But the actual roasting, the whole animal is one big animal. It's not roasted like steaks and lamb chops or whatever you're doing over there. And you're getting everything ready. And now wherever you're eating, right, we're going to set the tables, have the children ready, have the family ready, whoever is joining your meal. And everyone's going to get together. And this Passover sacrifice is like going to take central stage. So however long it's going to take to read through the Haggadah and ask the four questions and talk about the four sons, but everybody wants a piece of the Passover sacrifice. Everyone has their matzah ready and their Passover sacrifice and their bitter herbs, and that's what everything is revolved around. It has to be finished before, we'll call it Chatzos, midnight, not really midnight, but the middle of the night, right? And you're going to make sure that everybody is long finished way before the middle of the night. You want to talk about Passover afterwards, you'll talk about it. But everyone's going to make sure that they got their fill and they did their command of eating properly and reclining properly and making sure there's no leftovers. It's like that was a totally different focus. So if you're not even home, right, you travel away from home, you're with your family, you're eating this Passover sacrifice. So, yes, you can't have any leavened bread. You can't have any chametz. You can't have bread, right? You're only eating matzah. But that is a minor focus. And somehow, over time, maybe because we stay home, maybe because we're no longer bringing sacrifices, but somehow that focus of just not having chametz became an overarching, cleanup period. And that's really almost sad that's what everything became, but it misses the whole point. Now, by the way, at the same time, while we're making such a big deal, if you imagine that, right, as we're going through what's happening and everything revolves around this sacrifice, and now the children are here, and they see that everything is revolving around this sacrifice, they're going to have a lot of questions. Like, what is the big deal? Why are we having this funny sandwich with matzah and the bitter herbs and the meat, or whether we're eating them separately? And everyone was purified beforehand, and the whole process, and thousands of people are going to be in Jerusalem. And you can only imagine when each house is singing their different Passover songs, because they had the same basic, Seder that we have, right? So everybody's busy singing, and you could just hear everybody, right? So it's just a wow. Like, what the children are going through, what the children are experiencing, and the children are just imagining, well, I'm going to get older, and I'll have a family, and I'm going to tell my family what's going on, and I'm going to be responsible to bring the sacrifice, and we're all going to leave our homes. By the way, it says they never worried when they left their homes, as God promised them. You're going to leave your homes, you're going to go up to the temple, you're going to bring your sacrifice, don't worry. Nobody's moving into your house. You don't have to worry about squatters, right? Nowadays, like, every time somebody goes on vacation, they come home, there's a squatter, right? You don't got to worry about squatters, don't got to worry about somebody stealing your crops, you don't got to worry about anything. You just have to bring your sacrifice and so the children, of course, we talk all the time, right, will become a major focus. Now, by the way, it says that nobody ever complained. One of the miracles in Jerusalem was nobody ever complained, it's too squashy, there's no room, where am I supposed to sleep? Nobody complained, which is amazing. No one ever complained. And it's beautiful family time, which is something we also always focus on, that holidays is family time. Pharaoh couldn't understand. It's like the Indians. I asked my class this week, I said, you learn about the Indians? So yeah, in New York, I remember we learned about the Iroquois. In those cultures, when it was celebration time, right? So the men went out hunting. The men went out on these trips, and a boy became a man when he was able to go out on the trips, but the women and children stayed home, right? And the Pharaoh thought the same thing. He says, like, what do you need the children for if you're just bringing sacrifices, right? And there goes the music. We'll have to get more into Passover, of course, as the day goes along. The music is playing. I hope you enjoyed it. Short and sweet. Thank you, of course, to all the wonderful sponsors. Listen, I can't do it without you. Thank you to the production team. We have Alan in the back today. Hope I've left you some food for thought. Until next time, I'm Rabbi Tzvi Jacobson. You've been listening to Let's Talk Torah on NRM Streamcast. Until next time, don't forget about it.